you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's January 14th, 2013. I have a few special announcements before I'll introduce you to our special guest who's patiently waiting on the line. It's John T. Somerville with CUFI, Christians United for Israel. But let me point out a few things before I introduce him. You may have heard the radio spots, but each and every gift that is received during this month of January will be met with a $5 off dinner entree coupon to the Olive Garden restaurant. It's a unique way to reward you for faithfully supporting this radio ministry. So if you send in a gift of any amount, when we reply with our thank you, we'll send you a $5 off dinner entree coupon. Two events that are happening this Friday that you can attend. There's a special breakfast with John Somerville. For pastors, church leaders, and others of you that want to be informed about Israel and CUFI, Christians United for Israel, it's being held in Mahomet. More to say about that in a few minutes, but you'll need to call Meg to make reservations, 217-586-7779. And also this Friday night at the Community Free Church of Mahomet, there'll be a special Israel night, and John T. Somerville will be the guest speaker. So let me introduce him and have him enter into our conversation. John Somerville is a retired Marine Corps colonel. During his 30 years in the Corps, he was an infantry officer and later an intelligence officer specializing in the Middle East. John spent time in Israel, Turkey, Somalia, Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and Washington, D.C. Somerville first went to the Middle East in the early 70s and has made more than 50 trips there in the ensuing years. His interest in the land of the Bible and archaeology enables him to speak with authority about the historical and current military political events in the region. In 2005, John was honored with the prestigious Friends of Israel Award. He earned a PhD from Ohio State University. Well, John, thank you so much for being available and off air. We've already prayed up today's program, and we've connected on a lot of levels, a number of fronts, just some of the ways God has been at work in our lives and in our ministry work and the passions that we have for Israel and the Jewish people, and for that matter, for all people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard you speak a number of times in Urbana, in Peoria, in Bloomington. I'm absolutely each and every time encouraged and blessed and fortified in my faith journey and informed. And I just trust when you come this Friday, you'll be putting on and participating in two events, a special pastor church leader breakfast in Mahomet. And there's still time for our listeners to call in and be a part of that. I'll give that number at the end of the broadcast. And then also a special Israel night. It'll be this Friday night, January 18th, at the Community Free Church in Mahomet. And I'm just excited to share you with our radio listening family and have you openly share why you're coming and the things that you're going to disclose and inform us and educate us. I would like the preponderance of this program to be dedicated to you sharing some of your life story, your journey, your coming to Christ, share about CUFI, and then what listeners can expect this Friday when you come to town.
Well, thanks, Mark. It's an honor to talk to you again. As you know, I work with an organization called Christians United for Israel. That really is what our focus is all about, and we are attempting to unite Christians all across this country to stand together on biblical principles to make sure that our elected officials remain supportive of Israel, because that is a biblical mandate. When God went to Abram and he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, I'm going to bless those that bless you, and those that curse you are going to be cursed. We actually and firmly believe that that is still in effect, and that our nation also is affected that way. And that's what our main focus is to impact positively American foreign policy as Christians, so that we remain strong and supportive of Israel, because we believe that our nation will be blessed if we continue to do that. And that's an ongoing task. About 40 years ago, a little over that, I first went to Israel. And my life was irrevocably changed that first moment that I arrived there, and I had no intention of that happening. I'd served 30 years in the Marine Corps, and this was right after Vietnam. I was going all across the Middle East. We were looking at a variety of things that we thought might be happening next. And the last place that we were stopping was Israel. And I had no more excitement about going to Israel than I did about going to Syria or Cyprus or Egypt or a number of the other places we'd been to. And I was tired, and I was ready to get back to the States. But the moment that the plane touched down in Tel Aviv, something literally jumped inside of me, and I didn't know what it was. And unlike Elizabeth, there wasn't a babe inside of me leaping up and down that I knew of, because I was pretty sure I wasn't pregnant. And but there was something that just made me go, and I didn't know what it was, because honestly, I had been born again for probably 5 or 6 years prior to that. I'd been raised in a church. I thought I had a good biblical background. I'd even gone to a parochial school. But what I didn't realize at the time, and I'd never even heard of it, was that it was a replacement theology denomination. So even though I thought I had a good biblical background, I made no connection whatsoever with the Jews of today and the Jews of the Bible. I had no connection whatsoever between this modern state of Israel and the land of Israel in the Bible. There was a curtain in my mind that had totally separated the two. I had no idea that the state of Israel today had anything to do with biblical prophecy or biblical fulfillment until that first night when I arrived in Israel. I was riding in a taxi in Tel Aviv, and I don't know what was in my mind, but I leaned across from the back seat, and I looked at the cab driver, who didn't look religious to me at all, and I said, "Hey, are you guys still looking for the Messiah?" And he took his hands off the wheel, and he turned around, and he said, "Of course we are." And it was like it was a cold slap in the face, because I had, I don't know what I expected out of him for an answer, and I had no intention of witnessing to him or doing anything else like that. But it was kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe these people today have something to do with those people back in the Bible times. Anyway, that was only the beginning, and it started a magnificent obsession that I've had all these years. And it was to learn everything I can biblically, everything I can archaeologically, and I've worked on probably 15 or 20 different digs over the years. And my job in the Marine Corps the last 10 years was in Middle Eastern intelligence. And so I have this interest from such a variety of viewpoints, archaeologically, biblically, as far as current events go, and thank God I'm at the point in my life where this is what I do all the time. And I'm going, I have 20 states, and Illinois is right at the heart of them, 20 states in which I coordinate our work. And so that's the quick and dirty of how I got to where I am.
Yeah, and I know each and every year there's a special CUFI conference in Washington, D.C., and a number of our listeners have attended that and are very enthusiastic when they return, and I've interviewed some of them with their stories and what's going on, and I just have so appreciated the times I've heard you speak and elaborate on just some concepts or thoughts that haven't either been taught from the pulpit, or I may know some evangelicals that maybe sometimes seemingly go overboard and forget that, you know, yes, God has a special plan for the Jewish people. He's not through with them yet, but he does love all people too. And so maybe talk a little about, and I know you're going to be sharing this Friday morning with the church leaders and pastors, and then also Friday night, which is open to everyone, some of the nuts and bolts. But one thing that I liked and I learned from you is, because God is sovereign, when he makes a promise, he keeps a promise. So when God says it's going to be an everlasting covenant, I mean, everlasting is kind of like a forever for me. And so there are some real clear biblical illustrations, examples, testimonies that God is still going to be faithful, because suddenly if if we say, well, that didn't mean forever, and we start meddling with his promises, well, then how can we hold to, like, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and, you know, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, you know, we can't suddenly pick and choose what promises we want to feel that he's going to follow through on or he intended forever, can we?
No, not at all. And, you know, you make an excellent point. If the churches and the people that hold to something called replacement theology, which in a nutshell says, well, God's through with the Jews, and now the church has everything. So wherever you see in the New Testament where it says Israel, just insert the word church, and then it'll make sense to you. It basically says, see, you can't really trust God because he got tired of Israel, and he threw them under the bus. And so now we born-again Christians, we have all of those. Of course, we don't want any of the curses that went along with breaking covenants. Anyway, God is faithful, and he's faithful to all of his promises. And the promises that he made to Israel are still in effect. As a matter of fact, he always sealed them with a Hebrew word that is pronounced olam, and it means forever. So we that say we believe the Bible, we cannot refute, we cannot push away any of those kind of things, and in God's plan, all of this will work amazingly well. It's refreshing to find so many people that it seems that God has touched their hearts in a miraculous way, just as he's touched mine. And I can tell Mark from speaking with you the same way. Suddenly, something happened in our lives, and how it came about is his own business. But the fact is, when we get together in Washington, D.C., every July, we're there for one purpose. And that main purpose is to be inspired, to go back again to what the basic principles are, and then it's to take that understanding over to Capitol Hill and meet with our congressmen and meet with our senators and do our very best to explain to them the importance of our nation standing strong with Israel. And I think we had about somewhat over 5,000 people last year in D.C. We'll do the same thing this July. And the importance of it is this. When you and I were in high school, somewhere along the line, usually in our senior year, we had to take some class called government or some other name like that where we studied our Constitution and we talked about those kind of things. But it was all just book work and it was not something to get out of the way. When you go to Washington, D.C. with us, it's where the rubber meets the road. And it's our democracy, our representative republic in action when we take that kind of action. And it's important on lots of political issues, but nothing is more important than the spiritual issue and the one thing that nations are judged on, and that's whether or not we stand firmly and solidly with Israel or whether a nation turns against them. And that's been world history. A big part of my life has been studying and reading about all the empires that have come and gone and see what their relationship was to the Jews. And once they sell out the Jews, it's only a matter of time before they're in the ash can of history. And we, the United States, have been blessed because we have been a blessing to Abraham's descendants. And it's very tenuous now. We're in a very difficult time. I don't think that our relationship with the state of Israel has been more tenuous than it is right now. And the next year, the next few months, can be very critical of that, depending on what action we take or we don't take, and depending on what action Israel may be forced to take. So the things that we are engaged in, the things that we are very concerned in, are biblically based, but they have a great emphasis on what's going on in our current times. And we as Christians have a right and a responsibility to be involved in our politics. That's been the problem with the church for years and years. People have said, well, you know, politics is dirty, and I'm just going to sit here in the pew and I'll pray, but, you know, I'm not going to vote. When we start looking at the statistics of evangelical Christians who did not even vote in this last election, it's stunning. And it's kind of terrifying because on the strictly political level, we get what we ask for as a nation. And if we are going the wrong direction on this issue, it's because that's what God is giving us what we ask for. And it's another reason why we need to be involved in our government.
Yeah, I want to take you back to a word that you used and then share a story with our listeners, because when you spoke a few years ago in Urbana at the Civic Center, and I love you give a whole time frame of world history and how God has been at work and biblical accounts, and it really, I think, will help our listeners if they come out this Friday to kind of capture the essence of all that you have to say and share and the biblical mandate and so many things. But I had brought, at the time when you were here in Urbana, I think two different Jewish couples and another individual, so five Jewish friends, and I know afterwards they were so impressed with the presentation, I know at least one of the couples began supporting CUFI, and they continue to this day to talk about you and your presentation, and they said, I never knew evangelicals felt this way, and I didn't know that much about the New Testament, and all that John shared really opened my eyes to concepts, and so they were very encouraged. But because we have a wide range of listeners, and I do have some Jewish friends that I know tune in from time to time, you referenced in your childhood or that point in your life where you became born again. And just in our closing few minutes, I'd like you to elaborate a little on that, because what does that mean to be born again or to have a relationship with God?
Well, I'll tell you, and I have no idea what I might have said another time. I don't make it up as I go, but yeah. It's nice things if you tell the truth, then you can just forget it. As I mentioned, I'd been raised by a mom who did a wonderful thing. She planted a little seed in my heart and in my brain somewhere along the line, and she said, Johnny, if it's in the Bible, you believe it. And it took. And it kind of grew. So if someone could show me something that was in the Bible, fine with me. I just go and just charge ahead and believe it. Now, a lot of us think, and as I did, that we think, well, we have a good biblical background. We know a bunch of these stories and all the rest of that. And so I went swimmingly along doing that, pretty much listening to the outlines that my church taught. So when it came to a point where a gentleman showed me in Scripture where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he said, you must be born again. And so you know that whole story there. And then he took me over to the book of Romans and showed me where it says that if you confess Jesus as Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Well, that made good sense to me, and he told that to me, showed me that in Scriptures, and I was at a YMCA in Columbus, Ohio.
How old are you at this point, and are you already one of those tough Marines?
No, you know, I was, I'd already enlisted with the Marine Corps, but I was waiting to go to boot camp, and quite honestly, I forget how old I was, but I was probably around 22, 23, something like that. And so he showed me that, you know, if you confess Jesus as your Lord, you believe God raised him from the dead. And I'm thinking, that's kind of easy. And I certainly believe that Jesus had died for me from a child. I knew all those stories, and I believed them. And I believed that he had been raised again, and, you know, he ascended. I believe all those stories. I heard those things since I was a little child. So to bring this story right down to earth, I said, well, all I got to do is confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. I guess that means I got to say that he's my Lord. So I walked down the hall, went into the men's bathroom at the YMCA. I don't want to make this all that graphic. But while I was standing there at the urinal, there was nobody in the place. I said, well, I think this is as good a time as any to confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. So I can still hear it vibrating in that tile-lined bathroom.
Sure. And I'm sure it delighted God, too. Just, you know, God can reach us wherever we're at.
Yeah. So anyway, that is certainly to me, and there was nobody else around, to me, that was the moment when I did become born again.
Hmm.
And praise God, that happened. That was one of those moments, certainly in my own life and in my own mind, that was a great turning point in my life. Hmm. And the second one, in many ways, was that moment when I first arrived in Israel, and I felt that something leaping. And later, many years later, I was on a ship going across the Sea of Galilee. It was very cold that day, and nobody else was on it hardly, and I was all huddled up in the front and looking over at Capernaum, and I got to thinking, wow, no wonder, it's Christ in me. That's what must have leaped inside of me, because he was coming home. And, you know, theologically, they probably hang me for that whole concept.
Yeah.
But it explained to me the efficacy of Jesus literally living in that land of Israel. That's where God chose to put him. That's the people that God chose to put him into, the chosen people. And it's almost went kind of full circle to explain to me what it was that so excited my spirit.
Well, John, I'm going to have to jump in here. We're out of time, and I'm just going to encourage our listeners to come out this Friday night for pastors and church leaders. If they want to join us for a special breakfast in Mahomet, they can call Meg at 217-586-7779, 217-586-7779. But for the general public, everyone come on out. Trust me, you'll be encouraged and blessed, informed and challenged by some of the things John's going to share this Friday night at the Community Evangelical Free Church, 6 p.m., and it's located at 102 West Riverbend Boulevard in Mahomet. I think you'll really enjoy things. So, John, thank you so much for being available on this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark. Look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Hope to see you Friday. You can always call the station for more information. Have a great day, everyone.